Well, if you could turn your Bibles, please, to Acts chapter 24. And I want to speak on the subject today of the perils of procrastination. The perils of procrastination. I wonder, are you a procrastinator? I must admit myself, when I was at theological college, I was a procrastinator in relation to my exams. I would get to the car park and early in the morning of my exams, and I would cram in the car park, trying to cram all the knowledge in that I could remember. I study the best way that way by cramming, and I think it's because also of procrastination. Are you a procrastinator? You know, the tax department loves procrastinators. They love people that procrastinate about their tax because they send them a tax bill and they charge interest on top, and so the tax department makes money out of procrastinators. I'm sure there's none here that are procrastinators in that area. I heard about a circus, and there was a circus, and if you remember the circuses of old, there's not too many around these days, but a lot of the circuses had their strong men. And on this particular circus, there was a strong man, a really big muscle man, and he put out a challenge to people that came to watch the circus. And what he did was he grabbed a lemon in his hand, and he would just crush that lemon. He was so strong with one hand, he'd crush that lemon and get as much juice out as possible, and then he would challenge anyone in the audience to do the same. This particular day, this scrawny little guy came up, and he challenged the strong man of the circus. And he got the lemon and he squeezed it harder and harder, and the people couldn't believe how much juice he got out of the lemon. And he kept on going, one drop, two drop, three drops. They were absolutely amazed. Where do you come from? He said, I come from the tax office. He was used to squeezing out the tax from his customers as much as he could. Well, are you a procrastinator? Do you know there's the opposite to the procrastinators? It's called a precrastinator. You ever heard that? Look that up in the dictionary. What's a precrastinator? Well, a precrastinator is one who has the urge to get everything done in advance. Now, there's probably some precrastinators here, and there's probably some procrastinators here as well. Well, if you come to Acts chapter 24, you meet a man called Felix. He's a Roman governor, and Felix is a procrastinator. Felix was a Roman governor of Judea and Samaria when the Apostle Paul was arrested in Jerusalem, which is seen in Acts chapter 21. In Acts chapter 21, the Apostle Paul created a stir in Jerusalem and he was put into Roman custody. You know, when you examine the ministry of the Apostle Paul, it was either riots or revivals where he went. When towns he would go into, there'd be riots or revivals. Acts 21 verse 33, then the chief captain came near and took him and commanded him to be bound with two chains and demanded who he was and what he had done. In Acts chapter 22, Paul gives his testimony to the Jews at Jerusalem and he reveals to a Roman centurion that he, Paul, was a Roman. And you see that in Acts 22 verse 25. In Acts chapter 23, there are 40 Jewish men that make a vow that they will not eat or drink until they've taken the life of the Apostle Paul. Over 40 Jewish men wanted to murder the Apostle Paul, and they took this vow. They were so serious about getting rid of Paul, who is preaching the gospel, that they make a vow for murder. Well, the Romans hear about that. And Paul reveals that to a Roman centurion, and you see that in Acts 22, verse 25. And as a result, the Romans decide to protect the Apostle Paul. And the Apostle Paul is given an armed guard of 470 trained Roman soldiers to escort Paul out of Jerusalem. Paul was also provided with horses to safely take him to Felix, the Roman governor in Caesarea. You know, as you read the book of Acts, isn't the life of Paul absolutely amazing. Here in Acts chapter 23, the enemy of the Jews, who are the Romans, rescued Paul, who was a Jew, from his enemies, who were Jews. Isn't it absolutely amazing? He's got an amazing story. No wonder Paul wrote in Romans 8, verse 26, if God be for us, who can be against us? Romans 8, verse 37, now in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. The Apostle Paul knew that the Lord was in charge. And fancy having those hundreds of soldiers escorting Paul out of Jerusalem away from his enemies. You know, is there something you're afraid of this morning? If Jesus is your Saviour, you need not be afraid. The Lord is in control. Paul wrote Romans 8, 28, and he said, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Now, if we get to Acts chapter 24 here, Paul gets to witness to the Roman governor Felix and his wife Drusilla. A.T. Robertson, a commentator, a Greek scholar, says of Felix that he was one of the most depraved men of his time. Another commentator stated about Felix that his court reeked with blood and debauchery. So Felix is a bad man. In Acts chapter 24, Paul gets to witness to Felix, and he gets to witness to his wife as well. Now, Felix and Drusilla were in an unlawful relationship. Felix was an evil man, and Drusilla came from an evil, dysfunctional royal family. And it's interesting to read about Drusilla's family. Drusilla's father was Herod Agrippa, and Herod Agrippa the First, and he was the grandson of Herod the Great, who ordered the killing of the baby boys in Bethlehem and the surrounding areas. He did that in order to try and kill the Lord Jesus. Drusilla came from an evil heritage. Her father was the one that beheaded James. So Felix was married to Drusilla, and Felix was Drusilla's second husband, and Drusilla was Felix's third wife. And when you read Acts chapter 24, Felix wanted money from Paul, but he got something far more better, far much more valuable. He got a message from the Apostle Paul. Paul's message to Felix made Felix, who was so sin-hardened, the message to Felix made Felix tremble. Have a look at verse 24. And after certain days, when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, which was a Jewess, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. And as he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, Felix trembled and answered, go thy way for this time, when I have a convenient season, I will call for thee. The perils of procrastination. Felix was a procrastinator. He had the Apostle Paul right in his presence, who told him about the Lord Jesus, but he procrastinated. What a wonderful gift God had given Felix. God had brought the most famous missionary in Felix's time right into his presence to testify of Christ. You know, there are at least five different types of people that come under the sound of the gospel. Now, you might have met them. First of all, there are people like Felix. They are reluctant. They hear about Jesus, but they're reluctant to go any further. Seeds were sown in Felix's life, but he was reluctant. How sad. Felix, the procrastinator. It appears that the Apostle Paul lived for over 2 years very close to Felix, and yet he was a procrastinator. The Bible says in Jeremiah 8, verse 20, the harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we are not saved. What a sad verse. Felix, it appears, was reluctant to trust the Lord Jesus. Look at verse 26. He, this is talking about Felix, hoped also that money should have been given him of Paul, that he might loose him. Wherefore he sent him for the the oftener and communed with him. But after 2 years, Porcius Festus came into Felix's room, and Felix, willing to show the Jews a pleasure, left Paul bound. So there are different types of people that hear the gospel. First of all, there's the reluctant. Secondly, there are the people that are the rejectors. They reject when they hear the gospel. I think some of the saddest verses are found in John chapter 1. John chapter 1, he was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. The Jewish people rejected the Lord Jesus. Grace with a human face visited the new Jewish nation, and they rejected him. I've done many funerals in my lifetime, and I often wonder when I'm doing the funeral, and this can be church people as well, I often wonder, were they saved or did they reject the gospel? There can be people that reject the gospel in church, and there can be people that reject the gospel outside the church. Jesus' own people rejected the Messiah. Well, there's the reluctant. There are people that never make a decision about Jesus. They never decide that Jesus is their Saviour. Secondly, there are the rejectors. They out and out reject the Lord Jesus. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. The third type of person that hears the gospel is the righteous, the self-righteous people. They think that they're right for heaven because of their good living. There are those that give it their time, their talents and their treasures, and they're generous, but they think that their good works and their good lives are going to get them to heaven. How sad. They've got it wrong. Isaiah 64 verse 6 says, "But we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. We all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away." Luke chapter 18 pictures for us a man that thought he was right with God by the things that he did and the life that he lived. Luke 18 verse 10, Jesus tells this story. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, "God, I thank thee that I'm not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess." And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." And Jesus said this, "I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted." Luke 18 is really a story about a good man lost and a bad man saved. A good man lost and a bad man saved. The man thought he was good, but he didn't see his need for a saviour, for righteousness that only God can provide. I've got a book on my shelf, and it's by a man called Theodore Epp. And Theodore Epp was involved in Back to the Bible ministry. And the book on my shelf says, "How God Makes Bad Men Good." How God Makes Bad Men Good. And he summarizes the book of Romans. And you know, God makes bad men good when they come to the Lord Jesus Christ as Saviour. Well, there are different types of people that come under the sound of the gospel. Firstly, there are the reluctant. Secondly, there are the rejectors. Thirdly, there are the righteous, those that think that they are self-righteous because of the works they do. A fourth type is those that are the religious. And Jesus said in Matthew 7:21, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. And then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." Religion does not make you right with God, only faith in the Lord Jesus does. Fifth category of people that hear the gospel are the redeemed. And I wonder, are you one of the redeemed? Do you know the Lord Jesus went to the cross for all humanity? Every single person that has ever been born before Jesus came and after Jesus came, every single person, the Lord Jesus, when he went to the cross of Calvary, he spilled his blood for all humanity. When Paul wrote to the Ephesians, he said, "In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace." The Lord Jesus Christ has paid the price of our sin on the cross of Calvary. Can I ask you, which type of person are you that hear the gospel? Are you a reluctant person to receive the good news of Jesus? Are you a rejecter of the gospel? Do you think you're righteous enough because of your good works? If you think your good works will get you to heaven, you're wrong. Good works are the wrong currency to get you to heaven. There's a jewelry dealer in the Junction, and I remember going to see him a couple of years ago. Just imagine I went to the jewelry dealer and I asked him if I could look at his diamonds. And just imagine if I said, "I want to buy that priceless, what looks like a priceless diamond there. I want to buy it." And out of my pocket, I pull out several thousand dollars worth of Monopoly money. Would he sell it to me? No. What would he do? He'd say, "That's the wrong currency. We don't take Monopoly money here at the Junction. You can't buy a priceless diamond with Monopoly money. You can't buy priceless salvation with the wrong currency. Good works and a good life is the wrong currency. You need someone to pay the price for you, and that's the person of the Lord Jesus." When Peter wrote to the early church, he said, "For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot." Robert Lowry, that hymn writer, wrote this: "What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. So precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. For my cleansing, this I see, nothing but the blood of Jesus. For my pardon, this my plea, nothing but the blood of Jesus." There are five types of people that come under the sound of the gospel. There are the reluctant. There are the rejecters. There are the righteous. When I say righteous, the self-righteous. There are the religious. And there are the redeemed. And if you are one of the redeemed, you need to be thankful, like the Apostle Paul, for your salvation. The psalmist says this: "So give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy." In Acts chapter 24, God brings a missionary to Felix and his wife. And Paul tells Felix how he worshipped the God of his fathers and that there would be a resurrection of the just and the unjust. You see that in verse 14. "But this I confess unto thee, that after the way which they call heresy, so worship I the God of my fathers, believing all things which are written in the law and in the prophets, and have hope toward God, which they themselves also allow, that there shall be a resurrection of the dead, both of the just and the unjust." So here is Paul, bought by the Lord specially to testify to Felix and his wife Drusilla, and he testifies of his faith in Christ. He testifies of righteousness. He testifies of self-control. And he testifies of the judgment to come. Verse 24. "And after certain days, when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, which was a Jewess, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. And as he reasoned of the righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, Felix trembled and answered, Go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee. I believe that the Holy Spirit used Paul to bring conviction to Felix, and the Holy Spirit still does that today. I was talking to a man yesterday, and I could see on his face as I was explaining the gospel that he was brought under conviction. The Holy Spirit works the same yesterday and today and forever, just like the Lord Jesus. And Jesus spoke of the Holy Spirit, and he said, and when he has come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Felix was so convicted by Paul's message that he trembled. Look again at verse 25. Felix trembled and answered, go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee. He heard of the preaching of Paul, but he was a procrastinator. And how sad it was. You know, if you look up the Greek word for trembled, it's phobos, emphobos, it's emphobos. I wasn't good at the Greek at theological college. This word can be translated as terrified. So when Paul preaches about Jesus, when Paul preaches about judgment, Felix listens, and Felix trembles, and Felix is terrified. He's come under the conviction of the Spirit of God. You know, you need to beware. If you're unsaved today and you hear the gospel, you need to beware of rejecting the gospel. Hebrews 3 verse 7, wherefore as the Holy Ghost saith, today if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. Unbelievers, and I've got to say believers, can harden their hearts to the voice of God. Unbelievers can lose their sensitivity to salvation, and believers can lose their sensitivity to the scriptures and the will of God in their lives. Hebrews 3 verse 12. Take heed, brethren. This is talking to believers. Take heed, brethren, lest there be any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Believers, do you know that you can actually harden your heart to the will of God? You won't lose your salvation, but you will lose rewards. I've seen Christians harden their hearts. They might have something against some Christian, and they continue, and they won't forgive that Christian, and they continue on that path, and they harden their hearts. There are Christians that get involved in sexual sin, and it might start by watching an ungodly movie, and it starts to drag them down. They want more ungodly movies and more ungodly literature, and before you know it, they've hardened their heart to sin. How terrible. You won't lose your salvation as a Christian if you harden your heart, but you'll lose rewards. Take heed, brethren, lest there be any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God, but exhort one another daily, what is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. I believe at the judgment seat of Christ, there are going to be Christians there, and they're going to come to the Lord with the charred embers of a wasted life. Their rewards are all burnt up because they've hardened their hearts and they've wasted their lives before the Lord. 1 Corinthians 9 verse 24. It reminds us of the judgment seat. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainty, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I preach to others, I myself should be a castaway. Paul wasn't worried about losing his salvation, but the Apostle Paul knew that he could lose reward. If you haven't trusted Christ, every day you don't trust Christ, you run the risk of hardening your heart and going on into a lost eternity the moment you die. If as a believer you're allowing sin to grow in your lives, if there's unforgiveness, if you allow sexual sin into your life, you run the risk of hardening your heart and losing rewards. James 4 verse 14, it says, "For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanish away." We're a heartbeat away from eternity. I need to remind you, if you're unsaved, of the current death statistics in Australia. The current death statistics in Australia are shocking. 10 out of 10 Australians will die. 10 out of 10 Australians are going to go into an eternity, either a Christless eternity or an eternity with the Lord Jesus. Today, if you'll hear his voice, harden not your hearts. You know, there are certain laws in our universe as physical laws. There's the laws of the body. There's the laws that relate to the mind. Think about this. If you want to be a good tennis player, then you practice tennis and you become better at it. If you want to be a good golf player, and I've mentioned golf before, golden opportunities lost forever for the believer if you spend all your time on the golf course. That's what golf stands for, G-O-L-F. Golden opportunities lost forever. If you practice golf, you're going to get better and better at it. Whatever you do, if you practice, you're going to get better. If you practice singing, you're going to get better. I need to say this. If you practice sin, you're going to get better and better at it to your detriment. It's the same if you practice sin. You become much better each time to the detriment of your soul. You take a liar. A person starts out with a little lie and they find that pretty easy. They're convicted by the Holy Spirit, convicted by their conscience, and they have a lie, a little lie, and then they tell another lie. And then before you know it, they're a master at lying. They become better and better at the sin of lying. And before you know it, they out of their mouth comes lies and they don't even know they're telling lies anymore. How sad. A person starts out as a thief. They go to Woolies. They take a pen. They get away with it. They go to Woolies a second time. They take a calculator and they get away with it. They go to Woolies a third time. They take something more valuable and they get away with it. And their heart grows harder and they get better and better at sinning to their own detriment. Felix was a sinner. Felix started out, I'm sure, with simple sins. Felix now is up to his third wife in this particular passage. Felix had a very bad reputation and sin became easier and easier for Felix as he sinned more and more. And when a person rejects Jesus Christ as Saviour, it becomes easier and easier, more and more, for them to reject the Lord. Today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart. Here's a voice. He probably didn't ever read this verse, but here's a verse that would apply to Felix. The harvest is past, the summer has ended, and we are not saved. Yesterday, we had some things that were being sold down in the bottom area of the church. And I thought it'd be a great opportunity to open the top up here and to set up the model of the Titanic and to talk to people. And Luke and Evan were with me and we were managing to talk to people as they came in. We put our sign out there. And a guy came in and his wife indicated that she was a Christian and he was not a Christian. And I said to him, "Tomorrow I'm speaking about Felix." I said, "Don't be a Felix. Don't be a Felix." I told him the gospel, and I could see conviction on his face. And this man, some years ago, had a type of spiritual encounter. And he was aware of the afterlife. Let me tell you his story. He was involved in he was a lifesaver years ago. He was involved in many rescues, rescuing people. And there was one rescue where a young boy went out to sea and they started looking for him and they couldn't find him. And night came and so they closed down the rescue. I think they closed it down for the safety of the lifesavers. They closed down the rescue. This man told me he was asleep. He was awakened by a voice. It was a voice of a boy crying out to him to be rescued. It was a spiritual awakening. Now, I don't believe in ghosts and I don't believe a boy would call out to him, but maybe God used this as type of a vision or a dream in his life. He'd gone home to bed while there was a boy out in the sea. The next day, they went out, they searched for the boy, and they found the boy. And I told him, "Don't be a Felix." And I could see conviction on his face. Felix trembled, but Felix procrastinated. The perils of procrastination are terrible if you procrastinate in relation to the Lord Jesus. Jesus said, "For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul?" Today, if you'll hear his voice, harden not your hearts. Acts chapter 24, the perils of procrastination. If you're unsaved here today, and if you hear the gospel time and time again on a Sunday, harden not your heart. The perils of procrastination. Felix was a procrastinator. We never read any more of Felix after chapter 25. We never read any more of Drusilla after Acts chapter 24. But history tells us what happened to Drusilla. Drusilla and her son, they believe, were killed as a result of the volcano that showered the city of Pompeii in Italy. I've been to Pompeii. The volcano happened around 79 AD, and you can go to Pompeii today and you can see the hardened, calcified shells of people that died in the city all the way back in 79 AD. I wonder if Drusilla's heart was calcified. And I wonder what happened to Drusilla and her son when that volcano blew up and perhaps she had a couple of seconds to live had she accepted the Lord Jesus as Saviour. It's a haunting place when you go to Pompeii because you see the calcified corpses around the place of people that died right back in 79 AD. The perils of procrastination. Don't procrastinate as an unbeliever and don't procrastinate as a believer. Today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts.